My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back. The Bills over the Dolphins Thursday night. We kept our date here on the Monday afternoon, Football Monday, with Eric Wood. Next Monday, the Bills are home for a Monday night game against Jacksonville, and we will have another pregame show to do that day. We've been suspended from postgame. I don't know if Bulldog wanted me to say that. Something you said about Canada recently.
All right. Well,
so we're not allowed on postgame until week five.
All right.
We have to go to the International Criminal Court. I don't know. I have to go, even though I didn't say it.
Wow. I'm so sorry to put us in such a jackpot.
Yeah.
I'll try to be careful while Eric Wood is on. I don't want him getting any messages and any trouble with any international.
The reporting on this has been scant.
Yeah.
Eric Wood on the Western Hotline. Eric, how was your weekend?
It was good. I stayed down in Florida for a few days, got back yesterday, so a little R&R and getting back into the flow of things, but no, I'm sorry to hear that, Bulldog. I didn't catch that through
the slur.
Social media or anything.
Yeah. No, reporting has been scant.
Yeah.
Disney?
No Disney. I was down there with a few buddies that went down with me for the game. Just a little golf, a little boating,
okay.
Hanging out.
Are the kids still in the Disney demo?
They are, and I think we'll be hitting the park out in California maybe around that Rams game come December. So
good.
I think we have that forecasted for this season.
All right. Not that it was a big shock to me, but I found out something. We've known each other quite a while, been doing this on the radio pretty regularly for many years now. I found out that you indeed do check your phone and social media during halftime of the games that you're working. Because I made a crack about the broadcast, and you were right there with, geez, I'm sorry, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Of course, I wasn't talking about you and Brownie and Sal. I was talking about the Prime thing. But anyway, nice to know you're active during games.
I am. And actually, a lot of times, during TV timeouts and whatnot, if it's, a questionable call that we just didn't necessarily get, a great replay of, or maybe there's injury news that I'm looking for, I'll get on Twitter during games to try and, kind of pick up information that way. So, so I think I was probably looking for a Bernard update as I saw you critiquing our broadcast pretty hard. I knew you were talking about the TV broadcast, but I figured I'd have some fun with it.
Well, Eric, the Bills pretty smoothly take care of the Dolphins here. I mean, just kind of incredible, the stats, running only 45 plays, Allen's numbers, with a hand injury, just when you might have needed it, not much at all, but still a 3-touchdown win. They do it I'm thinking about before Tua's injury, especially here, Eric, losing Bernard in this game, Taron Johnson, Milano already. How are they able, how has Sean McDermott and this Bills defense been able so far this year for the most part, certainly on Thursday night, and we've seen it at times over the years when there were absences that seemed key. How has he been able to keep it upright?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that go into it. Now, you're essentially running the same defensive scheme for 7 years now, which helps. You're drafting players over and over into the same scheme. Credit Brandon Bean in the front office for continually keeping their depth strong within the organization. And then the way they've been able to develop players like a Cam Lewis, like a Jamarcus Ingram, like a Baylen Spector who had to fill in, Dorian Williams. I mean, think of how worried we were with Terrell Bernard heading into last season, and you know, he played one of the best statistical seasons for any linebacker in the league last year. So they've done a great job of continually developing talent. And then I realize that, you know, the defense has gone from Leslie Frazier to Sean McDermott calling plays to Bobby Babbage, but it's essentially that same 4-3, 4-2 scheme where you have zone defenders, you got corners that need to be able to set the edge, so you're continually stockpiling depth for the same scheme over and over, and it allows you to be able to create some great depth. And you know, last year the Bills were hit hard on the defensive side of the ball by injuries, and I know it caught up to them late, but they were able to make a great run and get into the divisional round of the playoffs. And then through 2 weeks, Cam Lewis has looked great filling in for Taron Johnson. Jamarcus Ingram has the great play at the end of the Arizona game to end it, and then they had a great Thursday night, 2 interceptions, 1 for a touchdown, but also some great coverage out there playing in that dime package. And, you know, it's just been impressive to see these guys kind of plug and play over the years. And, you know, you just think of how worried we were just with the unknowns for the first time in a while on the defensive side of the football, with all the kind of household names on the defensive side of the football, especially that you're moving on from this offseason and all the unknowns. And you go down to Miami on a short week, you got this high-flying Miami offense, and they go put up a performance that was just exceptional on Thursday night.
Well, there's a lot to say about that performance on Thursday night, and we'll get to hopefully some of it here. But on the developing players point, Eric, you just made, Sal's been saying this a lot lately. Guys like Ingram, guys like Lewis, who spent numerous years on the practice squad, that is what stability within your organization can buy you. Yes, they've lost guys. Joe Shane is in New York, and other guys have left and gone to other front offices, you know, for promotions. But you've got your front office intact. You've got a lot of your football department intact, and they know their type. And furthermore, without turnover, without coaching turnover or management turnover, you also have like a loyalty to guys that fit what they're looking for. Whereas I think if a new dude came in here with a whole new crew of people, be like, who are these guys from UB? Get out of here. Let's go get me some kids from Texas or Auburn or whatever. And I think that's to their credit that they've got that stability and they're able to recognize the traits they're looking for and have some belief in these guys, even though they're not from, you know, the power conferences.
Yeah, that's really well said. And honestly, I felt like throughout my career, I mean, besides the fact that we didn't have, you know, a top tier talent at quarterback for, you know, you just call it is what it is, and that makes it tough to win in this league. We also were flipping coaches, mm-hmm. you know, every 2 to 3 years to where, okay, well, Rex Ryan comes in, and we have the number two defense in the league under Jim Schwartz running a four down front, and now he's going to come in and implement an odd front. So now we're drafting and bringing in mm-hmm. different types of players to fit that scheme. And then we go to Sean McDermott, and, you know, it was just, You could bring in, and a lot of times we'd start off the season, we'd have a pretty good start. Well, once the injuries happened, well, now we don't have the depth because we didn't have the stability within the organization. And, you know, you're seeing the fruits of that now with this Bills team where, especially on the defensive side of the football, where everything's essentially been ran in a similar fashion since 2017 to where you can plug and play guys in cases of injuries. And I even think, you know, when you think of player development, I mean, obviously Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they develop into all-pro players, but they weren't all-pro prior to coming to Buffalo. Matt Milano, who you draft in the fifth round, becomes an all-pro player because he's playing in the same system every year and he gets a chance to develop. And it's been extremely helpful and it's allowed them to push through a lot of injuries because of that.
With Eric Wood, Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. Let's go back to just your being in the stadium on Thursday night. Lots of Bills fans, as always, when it's Bills at Dolphins. And, I mean, we and many talked about the symbolic, at least, meaning to this game for Miami with what has happened in the AFC East the last few years and how last year played out in the end. Man, just to get all that, you know, revved up and for as much sense as all that made, not that that motivation always equals performance, you know, that can be a mistake sometimes, but I guess it was in this game. What was it like in the stadium as this game started and the Bills eventually, the third Cook touchdown for 24-7, must have, maybe that just felt like the night. It did to me watching on TV.
Yeah, it did call in the game as well, and it was an awesome atmosphere pregame. A lot of hype heading into that one. You know, when they were getting these Thursday night football games, that's an ideal situation. You get, you know, two of the top teams in the league projected at the start of the season. You get them in week two, so there's a lot of hype around the game, tons of energy in the stadium, the parking lots leading up to it, walking into the game. And then, you know, pretty much for Miami, every nightmare scenario happened. You have your team that everyone says can't beat physical teams, can't beat teams with a winning record. Well, that comes to fruition again. And then one of your biggest concerns and what could derail your season is you have a quarterback with a really strong history of concussions, and he gets another concussion, and now he's out indefinitely. So, when you know, as great of a night as it was for the Bills, you want to talk about just a nightmare situation for Miami. Basically, all of their fears of what was a possibility for this season – in week two, you get smacked in the mouth by the Bills again, which they've just completely had the Dolphins' number, and then you lose your quarterback indefinitely.
And that had to be a moment, right? I mean, did you know at the moment it happened that it was Hamlin that was involved in the collision? Because when I noticed that, I even felt sicker. Not that he was in any danger or anything. It just was just optically just hard to miss and really made the whole thing feel even, I don't know, just more uneasy, I guess.
Yeah, it truly did. And as soon as I saw him went down, I saw his hand curl up. I knew exactly what was going on again. And, you know, you just hate to see that. You know, this is a division rival. We're competitive, but that's the last thing on earth you wanted to see. You know, whether you're a fan of either team, whether you're in the stadium watching, you know, whether you're a player on the field. I mean, you heard Von Miller and Josh Allen talking after the game about how concerned they were for Tua. And the fact that that wasn't, you know, his head whipping back on the turf, it wasn't a shoulder or something, a knee to the helmet, like you often see some of these bigger concussions happen. The fact that it was a fairly routine play, it almost made it even scarier.
With Eric Wood, so Dolphins and Jets 1-1. New England also 1-1. They lose in overtime after the win against the Bengals. Houston, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, the other 2-0 teams in the AFC. Anything about any of those other teams, Eric, as you kind of take stock of the Bills' position and the league through 2 weeks here, stand out? Kansas City, not surprising to anybody having the two wins, but both barely.
Yeah, both close wins, but, you know, you came into the season expecting Kansas City and Houston to be good again this year, and they sure looked the part through 2 weeks, but it's always so interesting early in the season because you got a good sense of what teams are going to be heading into the year, but there's always surprises, good and bad, as far as teams having, you know, above expectation seasons or below. And, you know, the Bills are in a dogfight against the Cardinals, but then they looked pretty good yesterday. Okay, so does that make our Cardinals win look better? The Rams bad? Is Detroit not that good? They lose their second game and they barely beat the Rams. It's always interesting in these moments, you know, especially early in the season when you're trying to figure out, you know, who's really good right now. And, look, when you look around the league and you see the top quarterbacks and some of the familiar faces, you have a good sense of it. But, you know, there's teams, you know, like the Ravens. They didn't look good yesterday. They blew a 10-point lead to the Raiders. It's hard to tell right now who's going to, you know, emerge out of, you know, maybe that kind of second tier of teams right now. You know, Cincinnati falls to 0-2. They had high hopes and thinking Burrow's going to be healthy. And, yeah, there's a lot of interesting storylines here through week two.
I think the number one storyline in the league is the furthering with the pass volume coming down from last year, too high safety stuff, and running quarterbacks contributes to this. But we're seeing like record low pass volume and production here through 2 weeks, which is really amazing, I think, and ironic considering every quarterback now is coming in with a $50 million a year thing, you know, guys that Tua, right? I mean, all these major contracts that have happened, and yet what we're getting on the field is teams turning to their running game, and the Bills, Eric, seemed prepared for that. I mean, that's what happened in the second half of last season, you know, trading Diggs, other things with their roster. It seemed right to kind of anticipate this from the Bills, and then that Dolphin game was just that to an extreme, really, but not so much the exception in the league this year. That's really interesting.
It is. And, you know, the league's always cyclical. We talk about it all the time. And, you know, you say, okay, as teams get smaller on defenses year in and year out to combat all the speed and the spread offenses, you know, are they going to get to a point where teams say, okay, well, now we're going to run the football down your throat until you have to get out of your too high safety look, until you won't take that shell off the defense, and then we're going to try and hit you over the top and make some more explosive plays in the passing game. And I like where the Bills sit right now because they haven't had to truly, you know, maybe for part of that Cardinals game where Josh took over a little bit in the passing game, but they really just haven't had to rely on it because the run game's been effective. And the defense, especially in the second half of that Arizona game and then the full Miami game, looked so well. And so, you know, I think, like anything, it probably comes back to a closer median, you know, as the season goes on. But it is interesting how teams are saying, okay, if we can take 5, 6, 7, 8 yards a pop, we're going to stay, you know, to plan here, and we're going to stick with the run game.
Recognizing it's only Monday here in the game against Jacksonville isn't until a week from tonight. What do you make of them? I'm bracing for a lot of wounded, cornered animal talk.
Ooh, I love that.
In the week leading up to this game, maybe especially on Monday when we're together for the roundtable again. But, you know, obviously a tough start. And even going back to last year, I mean, it's been rough for a while now with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I read something today. Trevor Lawrence, in his last 7 starts, 0-7, 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He hasn't been playing his best ball. And they start this season 0-2. And I know when there were 16 games, if you went 0-2 to start the year, you had statistically a less than 10% chance of making the playoffs. I don't think with 17 games now that changes a whole lot. But, yeah, they're backed up against the wall. And, you know, I don't know how that maybe changes their game plan at all or their preparation. You know, you go into every NFL football game, you know, you think that you're prepping the exact same way and you're playing the game to win. Would that mean maybe they take more chances defensively with blitzers or, you know, a fake punt or whatever it may be to try and say, we got to do something because there's no way we can fall to 0-3 here, get another loss in the conference. So, you know, all that being said, they're going to come in here desperate. How that changes things, I'm not exactly sure.
Any thoughts on Caleb Williams last night, Eric, with the Bears starting? I mean, they are 1-1. They did almost nothing offensively in their first game and got a win. So much hype about the Bears. This is one where and this always happens to me. Like, I'm always, you know, let's go. Rookie, I don't care if he's a rookie. Look at the talent. I'm sort of like, I go that way. But it has not started good for Chicago. Started well, excuse me.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, Caleb Williams, you know, under 200 yards again last night. He got sacked 7 times. He throws 2 picks. There's times where you see why he was the number one pick in the draft. He's got a great arm. He can make some plays. But there was so much hype in the preseason about how well he played. And, you know, we talked about it, you know, a bunch that, you know, that game, Bills versus Bears, they had a lot more in their playbook heading into that game than we did. Seemed a lot more, you know, prepared for that individual preseason game to go try and win it and get some confidence in a team that, you know, hasn't been good the last few years. So, okay, we want to play well in the preseason, get some confidence going. But, you know, against those vanilla looks, Caleb Williams feasted, and through 2 weeks, he hasn't looked very good. Now, they surrounded him with so much talent at the skill positions that it almost is going to be a situation where he didn't maybe have the same excuse as other rookie quarterbacks sometimes get when the coverage more bare, but their offensive line has not looked good through 2 weeks, which is, you know, that hurts as well.
Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, well, not a rookie anymore, but Bryce Young struggled through his rookie year, has struggled through 2 weeks, and is now finding himself benched in favor of Andy Dalton. How tough a thing is that for a locker room? Eric, you would have been on the Bills when E.J. Manuel had the chute pulled on him 4 games into his second season. Is it sometimes a thing that's just necessary to do because the other players are all kind of side-eyeing the coach, wondering, like, you know, when are we going to do something here? This guy's not getting it done.
Yeah, I'd say it's more, you know, you got these coaches that are saying, man, I might not be here if we don't start winning some games. So whether it's good for Bryce Young to keep playing and taking some lumps and maybe further evaluate him, if you're Canales, you might be saying, I might not get a chance with him down the road. We need to win now. And he said it today that he feels like Andy Dalton, you know, gives them the best chance. But it's no fun when that happens. I've been there when EJ got benched, Trent Edwards got benched my rookie year for Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor got benched for a game for Nate Peterman. You know, it's uncomfortable. You spend all off season, you know, kind of pouring into that quarterback, putting all your confidence in him as a team, you know, as an offense. And then instead of him being the main voice in the meeting room, now he's sitting in his chair and you have someone else stepping into that role. And it's awkward, and it's a sign that your season's not going where you expect right. it to, too. So it's not good for anyone in that situation.
All right, Eric. Well, we'll look forward to talking on the pregame show once again next Monday. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds great. Looking forward to it.
As our man, Eric Wood, 4 o'clock on Mondays, or probably next week it'll be 4 o'clock on Tuesday. In addition to this pregame show appearance, Mike references anyway, Eric's appearance with us here on WG.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
PR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at Northwest.com and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
By the way, Eric mentioned the stat about teams that start 0-2 and their playoff odds historically. And he's right. It gets 9 to 10%. I guess it hasn't changed because those are the numbers I saw today, and that's what he referenced. One thing that's interesting about that, if you follow Michael Lopez, a statistician on Twitter, he has a chart. I retweeted it this morning where he points out or shows it's not that it's starting 0-2 that puts you in tough. This is really interesting to think about, I think, for a playoff spot. It's losing any two games in a row. And he has all kinds of other, like it's whatever, 10% of teams that start 0-2, but it's 20% of teams that lose weeks like 7 and 8 make the playoffs, or it's, you know, it just varies almost like, I mean, bad teams.
Losing streaks are bad.
Losing is bad. Right. Losing streaks are bad for your chances. Right. So losing any two in a row kind of, I mean, it's a long season too, so it might not seem intuitive.
Yeah.
0-2 seems intuitive. Like, okay, well, Carolina is 0-2. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. Not just because they're 0-2, because they're terrible.
Right. And they're replacing their quarterback.
So I thought that was kind of cool. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Anything surprise you about the Bills or what's happened in the league so far? We want to hear from you. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after the update on WGR.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely, please do that, because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
Probably didn't.
You don't say.
You know what I don't like there? It's Matt LaFleur, Green Bay, which beat Indianapolis with an insane rushing. I mean, maybe they're responsible for more of this run-to-pass imbalance, relative imbalance than anyone else after yesterday. But what I don't like there is that the referee asks the coach. The coach says if he wants.
Do you want us to take him out?
Is it up to the coach to decide that? I mean, there are known situations where the referee, the independent spotter, where the officials decide that. Maybe the coach would leave the guy in the game. But no. You have to leave because you're wobbling or whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
Throwing up does not fall into the category of things that the official's like, yeah, we could just, if you want to stay in, you can stay in. I mean, it kind of affects play.
Yeah, I would say yes.
It's not just the player's own individual
and
safety or health.
It can also be a sign of a player that's in some kind of distress here, whether it's heat related or head injury-wise. I mean, those are both things that vomiting can be symptomatic of. So
you would think.
You know, you could, even though there wasn't maybe a clear, evident blow to the head, maybe you would wonder if this guy is okay to keep playing, you know, playing center, especially. I mean, he's just going to get collided with every play.
Every play is a blow to the head.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't say that lightly. But, you know, like, why should that be put to the coach? Of course, take him off the field. And that's what LaFleur said. Like, yes, I want you to take him off the field when
he's throwing up.
You probably should take their center out and anybody else's center out if anybody's sick at the line of scrimmage like that. Stop the game. Imagine not stopping the game when one of the linemen is throwing up literally on the field. I didn't know about this. I watched, you know, a little bit of every game. Not a lot of that game.
I think I want to say definitely have seen guys walking up the line of scrimmage, vomit, and then just go get in their stance. I without even a second thought. Now, it might be long before the days of the independent spotters or anything like that, but I know I've seen it in college and the pros. Guys, you know, spews and like, okay, I'm good to go now. So it doesn't always mean, you know, there's a problem necessarily, but you know, you might want to make sure.
I want a clean ball. That's one thing I want. That's, clean the field.
Well, good on Willis for not forcing a throw there with a vomit ball.
Yeah, good on him.
But it could have affected the grip, I suppose. And if not, flat out the aerodynamics of the ball.
How about that Green Bay winning? I feel like I missed that one. You know, I've always liked LaFleur and the Packers. They're a team, you know, I went into last year thinking like Green Bay is going to be good. Mm-hmm. It took a while, but they were good eventually. And they got no credit. Willis was seen as being so bad that they were 3-4 point underdog at home against a Colts team that's done what exactly? So they didn't. We missed that one, the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, that was maybe gettable that they would be good enough overall as a team.
I said on Friday, I mean, here, ready for excuses. I think I went 0-5 with my, or, well, 0-4 with my NFL picks. I won on Ole Miss again. I had a terrible weekend. I didn't like any of the games. And that was one that I didn't like so much that I don't know what to do here. I don't know if I trust Indianapolis yet. I think Green Bay's the better team overall, but it's Malik Willis. And like, I'm just going to avoid it. Missed it. Yeah. I just had no feel for it at all. Well, I didn't trust either side of it, at all. And so I'm not really that surprised. Maybe more sort of, you know, what exactly is Indianapolis going to be here?
Man, yeah, that. So Richardson has almost like never played a road game in his. It's like the fifth road game of his career, including college. And one or two, or even a few of the other ones were dome games. One was the world's largest cocktail party. Maybe they don't call it that anymore, but the Georgia Florida game. Yep. At a neutral site. There was a game last year where he, I think, went out for the season, was in Houston. So now it's Lambeau Field. It's September. It was sunny and warm, but, you know, grass even. I don't know. Like, that's another reason why I sort of am bothered by not guessing that Green Bay would win this game. But, man, I mean, it's 16-3 late. He had three picks. I can't tell you, like, overall what his day looked like because I didn't see much of it. But that's a team that all season, we're looking at the AFC. We're kind of stacking up the AFC officially on Tuesdays, tomorrow. It's another interesting edition of the reverse AFC power rankings.
Action-packed, dare I say, edition of reverse AFC power rankings coming tomorrow at 3.
And Indianapolis, there was a pretty big range. I mean, there were times when we were really talking up the Colts. And you'd have, like, the obvious teams, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Bengals. Okay, well, these teams have all established themselves as capable of winning big. What? And then you have Houston, which maybe did that. What if somebody else emerges? And the Colts were kind of an easy pick for that. Like, what if he's good? And, you know, we like the coach. Mm-hmm. Maybe some pretty good talent roster-wide. And that could still happen. But they're 0-2, and this game has to be really demoralizing. Malik Willis, everybody said the same thing. Watch out if he has to throw the ball. Like he's just been so unimpressive, apparently, that Tennessee just gave him away. He has to start this game for the Packers. 12-14, 122, and a touchdown. You know, that'll play if you're running the ball. And they ran it 53 times. The Bills ran 45 plays in Miami. The Packers ran the ball 53 times. Yesterday in beating Indianapolis. Also curious that Jonathan Taylor did not play at all in the fourth quarter. So 16-3. And their coach today said, well, we were losing, so we're going to try to throw the ball, obviously. And it really wasn't in the game script.
He's not our pass-catching back.
But who is?
He's Jonathan Taylor.
Right. Right. You have to respect him as a, you know, on a draw or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was weird.
Yeah, that's got to be a tough way to a tough game to lose. Where, like, not to say that the Packers didn't apply themselves running it 53 times in the game, but you lost a game where your opponent basically tried to do as little as possible to you. They're just going to line up and run it because they don't trust their quarterback, and you just could not. You just could not do anything on offense to give yourself a chance. I mean, if you could have even, you know, made that game 16-10, 16-13 at a reasonable time, maybe the Packers feel like they got to throw it. Or, God forbid, even get a lead. And they got to trust a guy that they don't trust to make plays. And it just never got there. I mean, what a frustrating game to lose.
Yes. Indianapolis. Playoff odds after their 0-2 start, 4-1 against at BetOnline. Jacksonville's are almost as bad. Jacksonville's next. The Bills will play the Colts, too. They play the AFC South. All kind of early. First half of the season, I think. Indy's the latest of the four. November. What about Jacksonville? Very winnable game. Similar to the Colt game, actually, where there's a chance late. Ends up that Lawrence takes a safety. They're down three, and they get the ball late. He takes a safety, and they lose by five, under 2 minutes to go.
Right, so their last gasp try needed a touchdown instead of a field goal. They could have tied the game, maybe, if they don't take that safety and still, you know, punt the ball away or whatever on that possession. So that killed them, and yeah, the coach sounds like he's just very demoralized. The quarterback sounds very demoralized. It makes sense. They've been on a losing streak. They're 0-2 to start the season. You know, last year at this time, it was, I think, still okay to think about them with a soft schedule and a soft division as a potential number one seed in the conference. You know, they're good. Great second half of the season. Big playoff comeback the year before. I'm talking about the end of the 22 season now. And like, so, okay, here comes Jacksonville. Now, they've paid the quarterback. Lawrence is up there with all the other guys that are now making 50 or more a year or whatever it is. And they just, yeah, it's not happening. And so, I don't know. Like, that's a team that's kind of had the Bills' number. I mean, it's different teams. It's Urban Meyer the one time that happened. And then, of course, last year it was Peterson and all the injuries took place. That game was in London. So, I don't know. I think because of that, it's an opponent that fans are going to be wary of, and it's why I even said to Eric, like, I'm bracing for a lot of wounded, cornered animal talk here with the Jaguars, because that's the Bills have had two of their tougher outings in the last few years have been Jacksonville games. Very different games, but, you know, one that just could not move the ball or get any points at all. I mean, 9-6 in this era is incredible. Especially with the talent of the quarterbacks in that game with Allen and Lawrence a few years back now.
There was no blizzard?
There was no blizzard, as I recall. Yeah. So, I get the idea. Like, if they needed to get, you know, their attention to detail dialed in, maybe being 0-2, you know, you can be wary of them. But it's a tough game to get my head around because the Bills have had a difficult time with them for whatever reason. Maybe it's just coincidence. I don't know. But they have had a tough time.
I wonder about Peterson. He's been there a while now, and it looks bad. At Buffalo at 0-2 on a Monday night, don't get blown out. Right? Like,
yeah.
Peterson,
yeah,
at this point. Then they go to Houston. Don't get blown out.
Yeah.
First coach fired watch, maybe Jacksonville. Not if they win here.
No, if they win here, I think that, you know, they've stopped the bleeding and they responded and we'll see. But yeah, if it's ugly, I mean, really, the way he... I mean, I know we jump to conclusions, but the way he sounded after that game, I would understand if a fan is going, the dude just sounds like he's waiting to get fired. It just does not sound like he's ready to rally the troops. He just sounds like, ugh. This is not going well. They're in a tough spot.
Bills have a win over Jacksonville from when Allen was a rookie, but that's it. Going back to the playoff loss, speaking of low-scoring games, 10-3 in the year the Bills broke the drought, and then these last two in 21, and then last year, Jacksonville beating the Bills. 803-0550. We'll have more Football Monday after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. I need a folder in my email that is, okay, so I have one for starred emails, starred items. I need one for like super starred. So a certain few starred items, I don't have to fish for them every time I want to mention that it's time now to get connected with the fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. At least you got to hear some good music there for a few seconds longer.
I like that jam.
I had to go looking for this read, which I should have memorized 7 years ago, probably by now.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
6, 5 years, maybe. At least by now.
Keep going back.
At least by now.
Keep going down.
Eddie is with us. Hello, Eddie.
Reverse Mike's memory rankings.
Oof.
Hi, Eddie. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Good show. I wanted to just weigh in. When the Bills drafted James Cook, I was the happiest man. I was just elated with the pick. I don't know if Buffalo fans truly knew what they were getting at the time. I had the fortune of being able to watch a lot of James Cook because being down here in Florida, I watched a lot of SEC games. And it's just, I would love to see them use him almost like a Thurman Thomas, where he is that much of the offense. He's going to get opportunities where he's one-on-one against linebackers, and he's just going to be able to break plays for 30, 40 yards down the field. I mean, it's just, he is just so much, and that is the thing that I've been waiting for, where a guy can just take, you know, not have Josh Allen have to do it all. And James Cook is the guy that I think can make that happen. He is that good. And one other thing I wanted to weigh in on, too. You know, watching the first half of that football game against the Cardinals, I was like, oh, no. It's caught up with them defensively. You know, the injuries. Mm-hmm. The guys that have gone, you know, to other teams and other things. And I said, oh, boy. But when they pulled it together and they really just, you know, got it together and they shut down the Cardinals in the second half, I said, boy, they did a good job of being able to plug in guys, you know, that are just doing a great job. And like I said, I can't say enough about James Cook. I think he can be that Thurman Thomas. I really do. And thanks, guys, and I'll listen to your comments off air then. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Eddie, thank you. I like Cook, I think, more than Mike does.
But not as much as Eddie.
Thurman Thomas, it's very rare that a guy gets fed that much in the league. It's happened a few times already this season, but it's very rare. So, I think they're using him just like I feel like they should be using him. We'll see how this thing evolves and what becomes of their passing game. But for now, like he hasn't dropped the ball at all. They schemed him pretty much wide open for a walk-in touchdown to get things rolling in Miami on 4th and 3. I love that call. Love the design. I love the decision to go for it after they had to burn a timeout and everything. So, full speed ahead.
I think what's interesting about the caller's commentary is that if you watch Cook at Georgia, which these games were on TV, so you could have watched them from a lot of places. If you watched Cook at Georgia, you would have maybe thought once the Bills drafted him, maybe that's the first time you ever thought about him, and you went, well, what happened to Georgia? He was never their number one back. One reason why I didn't like the pick, he's 5'11", 190, right? So he's not big enough to be your every down, and I'm not sure he's fast enough to be like Achane or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of in between, and if he was so good, I mean, it's a great program, but Zamir White played over him at Georgia, like different guys. So that to me was a red flag. He's been fine. Overall, he's been fine. I don't think he's amazing. I don't think he's bad. I'm kind of always ready for this time it's Ray Davis or someone else to move in on him, and that hasn't happened through 2 weeks. I mean, Cook was he scored three times in the first half of that game. The game was over. He did the job in that game. It's a great night. But I don't know. I think down the road, maybe I would go with the other direction than the caller here and think that there should be someone else in a complimentary role. But so far, two games, his workload is up a little bit, touches per game from last year, and it's going fine. 803-0550 is the number. More on the Bills offense, and maybe we'll hear from you next. But we'll keep phone lines open here as we continue. Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.